What we've been talking about for the past couple months is through each weekly Torah reading, we are relating it to the life that we have in Messiah. To say it a different way, we're taking the material that we read about in each Torah portion this week in the Joseph story, and we relate it to our walk, what we might call our following or being a student, a disciple of Messiah. And this has been fun for me, exploring these passages and how can we express them beyond just talking about the story itself. How can we relate it to what Messiah taught or what the Messianic writings present as our life in Him, following after Him? This passage is honestly a somewhat sad story. Joseph goes from continuously what might seem like a downhill trajectory. He's literally sold away. His brothers consider him dead, and they convince their father that he is so. But very amazingly, as you heard it read in the Torah reading, it says that the Lord was with Joseph. Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. Despite the fact that Joseph had gone down to Egypt and was given to the head of the guard, I like somebody read bodyguards, the chief bodyguard of Egypt, and he was taken into his house, yet it says the Lord was with Joseph. And as I read the following verses, some amazing things popped up. It goes on to say that as a consequence of the Lord being with Joseph, several things therefore occurred in Joseph's life. First of all, he was a successful person. And it goes on to say that his master, Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused everything that Joseph did to be successful. In verse 4, it says that Joseph found favor in Potiphar's sight, and that Joseph was able to aid or minister to Potiphar. Potiphar appointed Joseph over his household and put everything in Joseph's hand. Everything was in Joseph's hand. He was appointed the overseer, the administrator of the entire household. Joseph was able to personally minister to Potiphar, meaning that he was his helper, his attendant, his servant. And Joseph found favor in the eyes, in the sight of Potiphar. Joseph was successful. The Lord made everything that Joseph do to be prosperous. And isn't that what Psalm 1 tells us? Psalm 1. Ashrei Ish. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, or even sit in the seat of all the scornful people in the world. Rather, that person's delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his Torah he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree that's planted by streams, in the plural, multiple streams of water that will bring forth fruit in the right season. Its leaf won't wither, and whatever that person does will prosper, will be successful. Same verb, will prosper, that is here stated of Joseph. And we've already seen, or we will see in this Torah portion, that Joseph is one planted in that stream of God's instructions, of understanding the difference between right and wrong, not walking and sitting in those places of distraction, but having a path, following hard after the Lord. We know this because Potiphar's wife, in two words in the Hebrew, says, come sleep with me. And Joseph makes this long speech and a lot of words to demonstrate why that is absolutely something he cannot do. And he makes a lot of reasons why. Joseph is someone who has understood Psalm 1, who doesn't walk, stand, or even sit in those places, or lie down, as the case may be with Potiphar's wife. Joseph is planted in the wisdom of God, and it ends up causing Joseph to be thrown in prison. What is amazing, though, about Joseph and Psalm 1 is that in Joseph's case, he's actually been sold off for dead, taken to a foreign country as an exile, a one-person exile to Egypt, and has been made a servant in the household of this pagan. Even there, he trusts God. Even there, he walks after God. Even there, he is successful. And I know that it might be just a crazy shock, but there, because God is with Joseph, Joseph has success in that environment. Something that really caught my eye was in verse 4. It says that Joseph, in the Hebrew, Vayisharet Oto. Joseph ministered to him. I thought, well, that is an interesting phrase. Joseph's not just serving him, the verb avad. He's not just an obed, a servant, but he is attending in a ministering sort of way. Is right. Because this same verb is used of Joshua, who was for 40 years Moses, sometimes it's translated attendant. Joshua was the attendant of Moses. He served him. It's also used at one place for God's messengers, God's angels. They are ministering winds of fire and flame. Most regularly, this verb about ministering to someone is actually used of the priest. They are ministering to God himself. And so I even in English, I did a little exploring. The verb to minister, of course, we get in English the noun for an administer, to administrate, or an administrator, comes from the same root. It means to be a servant from a Latin word, that means to serve, but really the root of that Latin word is another Latin word that means to be less than. Literally, where we get the English word minus, to be less. That's with two S's. So L-E-S-S, not less, Leslie. But the, thanks, now I forgot where I was at. So in the same way that the priest, though they have an important rank, though he had an important rank, the angels, though they have a rank before God, they take a position of a servant, someone less. This is really, really amazing. Joseph was able, though he had a rank, actually as the chief guy in all of Potiphar's house, he was able to come in to be a minus servant for the sake of Potiphar. Turn to chapter 40, and we'll see something else equally amazing. And it came to pass that after these things, that the butler of the king of Egypt and the baker offended the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry at his two officers against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in the ward of the house of the chief of the guard. We already know from chapter 39 that the chief of the guard is Potiphar. They put him into the prison in the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard, meaning Potiphar, charged Joseph to be with them. And he, here it is again, he ministered to them. And they continued for a season in the prison. Of course, we both know, we know that both of them will end up getting out of prison, although only one of them in a way that we would appreciate. So Joseph goes from being a servant-less position, ministering to Potiphar, to being in prison, but even there, he was able to be a minister to these other two guys who were actually Potiphar's colleagues. They were all Sarim. Each one of them was called a Sar, a chief, a captain. And so it's amazing. Potiphar, very interestingly, didn't have Joseph killed, but Potiphar had trusted Joseph so much in how Joseph ministered to him that when the butler and the baker ended up in prison, Potiphar charged, instructed that Joseph would be with these guys and that Joseph would minister to them. Same verb. That he would minister otam to them. So he goes from ministering to one guy to ministering to two guys. And he put Joseph to be with them. Note that Potiphar, back at the beginning of chapter 39, had seen that God was with Joseph. It's interesting, the spiritual perception that even this pagan has. He understood the favor of God on Joseph's life, and he saw that God was with Joseph. And so when Potiphar's friends and colleagues, the butler and the baker, end up in the prison, he sees to it that Joseph is with them as well. This will ultimately lead to Joseph's release, but it'll be a long time after this. I have a couple observations that I want to make from this amazing story. First of all, note that how even in this place of servitude, this place working a job that wasn't a job at all, it was forced labor, it was slavery, but yet even there God was with Joseph. And all of those things back in chapter 39 in verses 2, 3, and 4, all those things about favor and holding everything in Joseph's hand and being in charge of Potiphar's house, it all started first by the phrase, "The Lord was with Joseph." And then everything else came after that. In the same way, in our lives, everything else comes after being connected to the Most High. His being with us. It's the season for it, right? How does the book of Matthew begin? You will call his name Emmanuel. Imanu with us, El God. The with us God. You will call his name with us. And at the end of the book of Matthew, how does it end? The very last verse, Yeshua says, "I will certainly be with you to the ends of the age." The book of Matthew is like brackets, bookends around the whole book with this idea of in Messiah, we have God's presence with us. By the way, the book of Revelation ends with the same thing. I don't have time to go there now. My first observation is that the key to everything in Joseph's life, the fact that he could sit there as a seed planted in Egypt and not grow weary and bitter, was the fact that he allowed God's presence with him. And there was all kinds of stuff, manure, that was dumped in Joseph's life. But in Joseph's case, this little transplanted seed from Israel, the manure just caused it to grow. The key to everything, even the manure kinds of settings in your life, will depend on whether or not God is with you whether or not you allow him in. The next observation is that this idea of Joseph ministering, verse 4, to Potiphar, taking this role to aid and serve the one who is like a master. Do you have that kind of perception about your leaders, your teachers, your employers? I may not like doing this job like Joseph. I don't have to like it, but am I able to, as Joseph did, can I be a servant? Can I be an aide like Joseph in this situation? When we can do that in our lives, it will earn us honor and respect. It's very interesting how it, speaking of Yeshua, again from his birth narratives, it says that he grew in honor and reputation with who? God and man, with people. That's another interesting thought. We'll ponder that another time. How did Yeshua grow in honor with God? Kind of interesting. But Joseph grew in honor with Potiphar. As it says in the book of Samuel, it's depicted, by the way, in the movie Chariots of Fire. It's based on a true story, although the scene in Chariots of Fire is dramatized. But in the movie, Jackson Schultz, the fastest person on runner on the U.S. Olympic team that year, 1924, comes and gives Eric Little a note. Eric Little has made a stand that he would not run his best competition, do what he was best in, which was the 100 meters, because the qualifying run was on a Sabbath. And he ends up instead running in the 400 meters, which was a distance he had only run in competition less than a half dozen times. Okay? The 400 meters was not his cup of tea. But he chooses to run in it. Side story, he wins anyway. But Jackson Schultz writes him a note based on this passage in Samuel that says, "The good book says, he who honors me, I will honor. He who honors me, I will honor." And so, like Eric Little finds himself in a situation that's not his field, and though Joseph finds himself in a situation that's not his place, not even pretty to be in, it's not even as lovely as the Olympic Games, Joseph honors God and he serves. In chapter 40, when the other two guys end up in the jail, it says that Potiphar works it out so that Joseph can be with them. And so what does Joseph do? Vayisharet otam. He serves, he ministers to them. He simply repeats his role. But I think it's really significant that it, in chapter 39, it says, Oto, he serves him. And in chapter 40, it says, he serves them, Otam. Here's the significance. He learns first how to serve one person, where, therefore, then, as the honor comes and the possibility comes to him, then in chapter 40, even though he's even in a worse place, he can serve them, plural. He serves one in chapter 39, in chapter 40 he serves two. This is the only place in the book of Genesis that this verb occurs. In this Torah portion, the only place in Genesis, it will occur, begin to occur very frequently in the rest of the Torah and through the rest of the Tanakh. But Joseph is the paradigm for us learning how to be a servant in difficult circumstances. How to have a rank? Did you know that Joseph was actually made the custodian of the prison? He was made the inmate of the year or something. He was the guy in charge. But though he had a rank, he still served. He served these guys. He could have said, you know what, the prison warden made me the guy in charge. Why don't you serve me? But Joseph continued to serve. In Matthew chapter 20, here's what Yeshua says. It's in verse 25. Yeshua says, don't be like the pagans. Don't be like the pagans who in their roles and rank, they lord it over people. Instead, you are to be in your rank as Messiah's apostles and disciples and leaders and who will be ultimately the judges of the 12 tribes of Israel. They have great rank. But Messiah said, how do you show your rank? You show your rank by not being like the pagans, not like the Gentiles. Instead, be like the servant. I wonder if Yeshua had Joseph in mind when he told him that. In the same way, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, 1 Peter 5, Shimon Kepha says, to those who are entrusted to you, to those in your care, serve them. Serve them to those who are in your care. Potiphar had put these guys into the care of Joseph's hands, and he continued to do what he had done for Potiphar outside of the prison. He was an aid. He administered to the situations. He served them. My final observation is Yeshua himself. Back to Philippians chapter 2 that we mentioned earlier, it says that Messiah, though he had this high rank, he was had this great role, he had this great identity. It said that he laid aside those things and he became a servant for all. He ministered, even in the midst of his rank, in the midst of his role, in the midst of his prestige as sitting at the right hand of God, he set those things aside in order to serve. Joseph is our paradigm in the book of Genesis, and it ultimately points to Messiah himself. May we, in circumstances, I'm sure, much, much easier than Joseph, in either of his circumstances in this Torah portion, we have considerably easier situations. In life, in our families, on our jobs, to be an aid, to be a servant, to minister to others. May we, like Joseph, may we see our opportunities growing as we honor God. May we grow from being able to serve one, as Joseph did, to serving many, as Joseph grew to serving those others. Yeshua sets the bar for us and gives us the example to have the same attitude as he had, to walk the same walk that he walked. It's a hard story of Joseph, but yet there is so much beauty. Cultivate it with letting God being with you and see what opportunities God opens up. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face towards you and establish peace, wholeness for us in our lives and for all Israel. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yo'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'asem lecha shalom.